between the pastorate and okay, choir will sing. Okay, sing.
We cannot tell it all. If we hung a thousand tongues, if there won't be any more, Jesus,
the last phrase on the hymn that we sang. You know, this scripture was talking in the book of Ephesians. He said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, I will agree that there is a challenge with my own generation, is that we forget that there is a place for hymns too. And some of the people that wrote down these hymns wrote it by revelation. People like Fanny Crosby. Stanza said, what wonder, what transport. I know you have been singing it, you have not given time to understand what was said there. That's the language of intimacy. When the scripture says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, that word fellowship means intimacy, means transport. It means that even though we are in Christ, there is a journey in Christ. There is places. The scripture says that we are seated with Christ Jesus Christ, far above principalities and powers. So there are places in Christ Jesus. And a man that have not understood it, we think that just when you are born again, that there is nothing to enjoy. These are the people that are born again and they still give themselves to carnality, not knowing that there is a journey in Christ. So what wonder, what transport. So you can be on earth and you are transported by the essence of interaction. That's the life that we receive. It's a life you enjoy. Somebody asked me, said, you are a young man, touch the world small. I said, it's because you have not known the wonder. You have not known the transport. That there is an economy in God that once you give yourself to it, you will lose taste of things that are mundane. On that day, you stop telling people, stop sinning, because they have tasted the one that is superior. Jesus said, I will not drink of the wine of this again until I see you in the kingdom. He has lost taste of the thing that is mundane. You know, because people are not introduced to this, they don't know this. You still beg them, don't do this, don't do this. No, have drank of that wine and has lost taste with anything. Affect my life, bring on me. I look to you for life. Affect my life, bring
you for life. I've fed my life in on me. Lord, I look to you for life. I've fed my life in on me. Lord, I look to you for life.
It's a prayer, it's not a song. Sometimes we have gotten used to it. See this hymn, we have gotten used to it. I'm almost weeping when I was reading it. We have gotten used to it. That's where God put in his realities. When God healed in the Old Testament, they called him Jehovah Rapha, because the realities of God are captured in his name. So even if we come tomorrow and say that God cannot heal, we have lied, because he healed so much in the Old Testament that they gave him a name to immortalize that reality. So our generation can come and lie and say God is not good, we lie. We come and say that God is not present, we lie, because he's Jehovah Shammah. When he walked with men in the Old Testament, the scripture said that by a pillar of fire and a cloud he walked with them. They named him Shammah. They knew that God is ever present. When he revealed his righteousness, they called him Jehovah Shikenu. On that day, even if you don't know the path of righteousness, he was immortalized in the name. I fed my life, being on me. In these 3 minutes, less than 30 minutes, God will affect our life. I fed my life, being on me. Lord, I look to you for life. I fed my life, being on me. I look to you for life. I fed my life beyond me. Lord, I look to you for life. I fed my life beyond me. Lord, we look to you for life. I fed my life beyond me. Lord, we look to you for life. Lord, we look to you for life. I said, I us. Lord, we look to you for life.
In Jesus' name. You can be seated. Just stay on the keys. We don't have time. So, what we are going to do is to take a shot from the scriptures. And because of want of time, we just take two scriptures, just two, and then we make attempt to journey in the spirit. The scripture said, and that's the place I'm going to read, that God is spirit, and that means every understanding that we can have of him has to be spiritual. Sometimes, because of the businesses of the day, of the week, we lose touch of the fact that we are principally spiritual. That is why we come to church like this, so that we'll be reminded of our original essence. That even though we walk this earth, that we are pilgrims, we are citizens of another nation that is tabernacled in heaven. And God seeks that from heaven, that civilization will come on earth. And that is why, when he was giving them the template of prayer in the book of Luke chapter 11, he said, our Father which art in heaven. I don't have time to analyze that, because our Father in heaven is different from my Father that is at Newe. I'm from Newe. No, he's different. As good as he's different. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom what? Come. So there is an innate desire in the heart of God that the heavenly kingdom will be domiciled on the earthly kingdom. And I found that, or rather, the reason why God told us to make that prayer is that he has no other instrumentality, no other way to make it possible except through us. And that's why when he created, he said, and let them have dominion. That's his intent. Isaiah chapter 12, where we had with from our Bible reading, 12 verse 2 and 3. And the brother Bahatabas. If you are there, say amen. Okay. He says, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. Follow me. Now, you will not understand this scripture if you don't pay attention. Because the scripture was telling us in the book of Isaiah. He said that if any time a man wants to do doctrine and revelation, that there is such a thing as line upon line and precept upon precept. A little here, a little there. That means sometimes you can miss the whole point if you don't pay attention. It doesn't take much. All you need to do is to focus and pay attention. Sometimes before Jesus and the apostles will do something very magnificent, they will say, look on me, because there is a demand for attention at that time. When Elisha told Elijah, he said, I need a double portion of your mantle. He said, if you will see me. Paul was talking in the book of Ephesians. He was telling them that you might understand, that you might know my understanding in the mystery of Christ. He said that there is a capacity that has been granted to me. On that wise, he said that my grace is the grace that makes all men to see. So it seems as if little can happen to men until they see, until they focus, until they pay attention. And that is why I've gone through the Bible. Anytime Jesus sees a blind person, he opens the blind eyes. The worst thing that can happen to a man is not to see. The implication is that I can, and believe me, Jesus is metaphorical in the sense that we can be talking about spiritual things, and a man will come in the perimeter of where his salvation is, the redemption, the promise that God has kept for him, and he will pass over simply because he didn't see. There is a spiritual sight. And that is why when Paul was praying, he said, this is my prayer for you, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the understanding of God is an enlightenment that comes to your heart. He said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He is also become my salvation. See, he's saying that God has become his salvation. If you don't understand this basis, you will not understand the next verse. God himself became his salvation. That is the whole essence of the Christian life, that God himself became. He did. When God was saving a man, it is not a, like if I want to save somebody, maybe this thing is trying to fall and I want to save it, it's probably, I will use my hand, bring it back. There is really no direct participation. But when God saved man, when God brought salvation, he brought it in such a way that he himself is the salvation. So if a man is truly saved, he is saved because he participated in God. So because people don't have this understanding, they think, ah, when you now get born again, you now stay. No, when you get born again, it's a doorway to limitless possibilities. It's a call for you to come up higher. The scripture says in the book of Revelations that John, the same John, that leaned his head on the shoulder of Jesus and was asking me, Master, is it me? That saw the glory shine on that mountain where Jesus was revealed. He saw him in the book of Revelation. The scripture says he fell down at his face. And he heard the voice, he said, come up Peter. The scripture says he is in the spirit on the Lord's day. This is a man that is not, the realm of the spirit is not strange. He knows faith, he knows a few things, but he still heard the voice, come up Peter. That is the essence of salvation, because God himself became salvation. So that when he comes inside of you, it is not something you now touch and then go. No, it is something you continue to participate. So that the first entrance, it was allows you in into that place. If God is your salvation, and not just that he saved you, that means you will continue to journey in him, even as that salvation has become yours. Amen. Now, he said in verse 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw from the wells of salvation. Now, have you now seen the connection? The scripture said that God is your salvation. He now said that with joy shall ye now draw from the wells of salvation. So when you are saved, when you became born again, what happened is that God put himself inside of you. That's what he means. You receive eternal life. And the scripture say with joy we now draw from the well of God. Remember, the scripture said that God has become what? God has become what? So he now said with joy we now draw from the wells of God. So when God wants to satisfy a man, he does not satisfy him with anything outside. He satisfies him with himself. The scripture says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he said that God has placed eternity in the heart of man. So it doesn't matter, even if you have 20 million now, you will not be satisfied. Even if they bring another land, another property. My father was telling about the story of a man that his debt has reached. They told him, your 20 containers has arrived. He said, and then what? He said, the new car you ordered has arrived. He said, and then what? He said, your daughter just gave birth. And he said, and then what? This is a man that has lost touch with reality. There is no well and there is nothing to dig. So he doesn't understand that the essence, the thing that gives you essence as a human being is God himself. And when you got born again, instead of God saying, let me save you from sin, he didn't just save you from sin. He saved you from sin and then started living inside of you. He said, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and he lives inside of you? So that means anytime you talk about salvation, it is like a well. As I'm talking now, picture a well. Picture a well. I know well. You dug a well. Let's say we dug a well here. And that well is called the well of salvation. And the way God did it is that he dug it inside of you. You will not talk. Let me just read one more scripture for you to understand this. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Once we read it, I strike my point with those prayer.
He's the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the living God. He's the Holy Ghost, Scepter of the.
When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had said that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, verse 1, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. I don't have time to go into that, because the word Sychar means mirage. I don't know. So you have traveled on a highway now. There is a way you'll be traveling and you look, it seems as if there is water somewhere, and then you reach there is no water. That is what is called a mirage. You are seeing it and you will think that when you reach there you have touched it. It means you have not touched anything. I remember those days in campus. I entered first year and I entered practical lab and they said there is a party this night. He said, are you not a man? You need two ladies now. Everybody that gave himself to the lust of the flesh, we think that by satisfying it, you will be satisfied in your heart. Only for you to finish and find out it's a mirage that he never satisfies. It's like you saw that water and you come there thinking that when you draw and drink you'll be satisfied, only for you to engage that thing and find out that you are still thirsty. There is still a hollow inside of you that cannot be filled by anything that is mundane, no matter what it is. I have seen people make millions and after making it they will come and tell me and say that they miss something. They know that they miss something. They make 10 million, 20, 30, they are still missing something. Because there is only one, there is a hole only God can fill. Only him. So Jesus sat at that well. Because the woman, let me just tell you the story. Because I will just read, there are two places I want to, because of time. The woman was sitting there. Jesus, the scripture says Jesus needs to pass there. He was sitting at the well, Sychar. And this is a woman that has married 7. As a matter of fact, she has married 5. And the 6th one, she said, you know, when you marry first one, marry second one, marry third, fourth, fifth, said, there is no need to marry. Let me just be staying with the person. There is no need. And you must talk, there is also a meaning there, because when Jesus came, Jesus became the 7th man in her life. And 7th is completion. After that one, there is no need again. There is no task. She became an evangelist. It was there that the woman came after five men, and even the sixth one, she is still not yet satisfied. You know, Jesus is an object teacher. He wanted to teach about drawing from the wells of salvation. So he went and sat by the well, Sychar. The well that they have been drawing since the day of Jacob, and he never satisfied any man. The well that they have been sinking, they have been making money, he never satisfied. Because when Jesus came, he was telling his disciples, he said, see, if you cannot be faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you true riches? So in the context of God, mammon is unrighteous. I'm trying to tell you that there are civilizations in heaven. Food is one of them. There are a few things there. Mammon is not one of them. There is nothing like money. Money is one of the things that Satan created out of rebellion. The scripture said, out of the greatness of thy merchandise. He is the one that created merchandise, an enterprise. So you must put in money in the place where you should be following. Else you will make it and find out that you lost your soul. Because the understanding of the man that generated that view is that every soul has a price. It was only Jesus that came and he said, bow to me and I will give you the earth. And Jesus said he wouldn't bow to him. On that day, a man stood and rejected the word, and a soul couldn't be bought for the first time. And Jesus stood and made a way for us, so that every man that calls himself a Christian following that line must understand that his soul cannot be bought. There is only one way for you to do that, to understand how to breathe and draw from the wells of salvation, where your reality dwells. If it's true that mammon is not reality, that the one that has it, that the one that touched this, touched that, touched women, touched this, will still come and thirst again, then we need to know what fills the heart of a man. You see, I was talking about this in somewhere, and somebody said, I'm a young man, I'm this one. Well, I'm young. I'm not too young in God though, because if you are born again for 20 something years, you are not young now. But even then, I want to show you in the book of Proverbs, the scripture was talking there. He said that the friends of Job, they came and told him it's because of your sin. They said many things trying to analyze his challenges and situation. But the time came, there is a young man, he was sitting. He said, I gave elders time to talk, but I saw that they are speaking only from their human wisdom. I gave them time and they are only trying to analyze things that are spiritual by their human experience. And they were stuck. They cannot answer it. The same way I have sat down to learn from the elders, they cannot answer the question. So a man is an elder in the physical, but in the spirit, he's still a toddler. And guess what? God is not unrighteous. If you give yourself to him, he gives himself to you. So I began to search, and I found out that there is a wisdom that young man Elihu came with. He said that there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Most High giveth him understanding. And I saw that the understanding of life and the principles that power the universe, the things by which God set up his kingdom, the heavenlies, is only entered into by revelation. That unless a man comes into that economy by the understanding of the Holy Ghost. He said that there is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Most High giveth him understanding. So, mommy, there is only one way to enter into the things of God, by the revelation of the Spirit. So, no matter how old a man is in the flesh, the Holy Ghost is still older than that man. So, when a young man begins to interact with the ancient wisdom, then he becomes ancient by that interaction. There is no time, because something just came on me now. Hi. No, this church is fine. We will not scatter the church. Amen. I want to jump to verse 10 in that John chapter 4 as I round up. Verse 10 said, Jesus answered. Are you there with me? If you are there, say amen. please, if you are with your Bible read, I have noticed something, mommy. This Bible reading should even be increased. Because some people don't have time to read again. You'll be surprised. Is this one that is ready and they will not carry it? I'm telling you, you'll be thinking they are reading, they are not reading. I've been pastor for quite a while now too. So I know that sometimes you have to tell the people, open your Bible. It's intentional. It's not as if I can't read it here. Verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. This type of knowledge is not cognitive knowledge. No. It's a knowledge that is entered into by revelation. It is an experiential knowledge. You know, today is Thanksgiving, husband and wife. This is the type of knowledge that happens only between husband and wife. It is the type of knowledge that when you are, if it's true, you contacted God via that knowledge, then there will be a seed as a proof. So if you are really interacting with God and you are still proud, then you are not interacting with God. If you are interacting with God and you are still having some traces of bitterness, jealousy, all those things, you are not interacting with God. Because there is a seed, the fruit of the Holy Spirit naturally enters into you. If it's true that there is fellowship, that there is intercourse, which is the meaning of this knowledge, then there will be fruit to show. Anyway, that's not my point. He said, who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Follow me. The woman said unto her, sir, thou hast nothing to what? Draw it. This man is still seeing from the physical plane. Jesus said to her, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall what? I'm saying you can drink, but when you finish, we still thirst again. When we are small, daddy, there is a car that used to rain that time, Volkswagen Santana. If the thing is passing like this, you'll be saying, this is my car, this is my car. How many of you did it? This is my car, this is my car. If you give me Volkswagen Santana now, if you have it, I'll not enter. There are people that killed people to have that car those days. He that drinketh of this water shall what? Thirst again. All those my friend that got this thing, got all those things, when they finished, it's still the same thing. They finished, the one came to me when we are now in 500 level. He said he is tired, but he can't help himself. He that drinketh of this water shall what? Thirst again. Even some of us that are doing ministry, after some time, we forget that ministry is first to God before it is to the people. As a matter of fact, your ministry to the people is as effective as your ministry to God. The scripture was talking in the book of Acts chapter 13. He said that there is a group of teachers, prophets gathered at Antioch. The scripture says, as they minister to the Holy Ghost, fasting and praying, the Lord now said, separate unto me. So before the separation to ministry is a ministration to God. That is where we derive our authority from. Our authority does not come from man. I appear to preach somewhere, and a spirit appeared in this territory and said, by whose authority do you talk? Because I don't really speak by, if you have heard me, you cannot be sounding like this unless you touch something in the spirit. Oh. No. Before Moses confronted Pharaoh, he saw the burning bush. Else they will slaughter you. I'm telling you. The person asked, by whose authority? I was fasting many years on Vet Mountain, UNN, and God said, I give you a mouth and a wisdom that men cannot gainsay. From that day, even if you don't like my face, you will still not deny that God is speaking through this young man. Because when Jesus is talking, they said that with so much wisdom and authority, we have not seen this type of talk before. That's what enters the heart of men. This is the type of talk that the man will go in his sleep, and then the spirit of that word
we trouble him throughout. Somebody finish listening and say, for 6 months he continue hearing my voice just once, because that is the one that the Spirit of God has entered inside. For whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him. If you are with me, say follow me and read it. Shall be in him what? He said, the one I will give you will not be a well. So that, you know what he means, in case you don't see pastor, because there are some people here, the only time you receive refreshment is on Sunday. What if something happened on Wednesday and pastor's number is not reachable? What will you do? You need to know how to draw. Touch your neighbor, say draw. We want to draw from you again. Yeah. We've come to draw from you again. Yeah. There comes a time in the life of a man that he's tired with the status quo. You come to church every day and there is no tangibility to your life. You cannot lay hold on this and say that this is the substance I receive by interaction with God. Aren't you tired that the very God you are talking about you cannot defend? If they convict you of being a Christian now, that there is no reality in your spirit to support it. The seven sons of Sceva appeared and they said, we come against you in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. The demon said that Jesus I know, Paul I know, you, who are you? That means men also sustain them in the spirit, because he was not just talking about Jesus, he was also talking about who? Paul. So there are names that are sustained in the spirit by interaction, by obedience to the things that are eternal. When you begin to draw from that well, after some time you overflow. That is why the scripture said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. That's how to live this life. And then you begin to lose touch with that itself. If they bring pride to you, you will speak like Joseph. You will say, how can I do this great thing against God? When did he know that God? The God that everybody is still hearing about and they are still touching sin. How did he know that God? Is he by the letters? He cannot. He knew him in the secret. The scripture says, talking about the disciples, he said they took knowledge of them and knew that they had been with Jesus. He said they called them that they will be with him after that time that he will send them forth. We've come to draw
from you again.
We've come to draw
from you again.
Yeah. We've come to draw
from you again.
Yeah.
Draw from you again.
Yeah. A short prayer as you round up. Say, oh God, dig a fresh well in my heart. You see, troubles and the cares of this world has filled my well with junk. The scripture says that the Philistines came to the well that Abraham dug for Isaac his son. He said, instead of people to draw from that, they filled it with rubbish. And he has to be excavated. He said he returned the well. And then the river sprang forth again. Some of you touched God many years ago, but there is nothing to show. The only thing that remains of what you touched about God is just your dressing now. the reality is no more in your spirit. And people still think you are high, but you know that you are hollow inside. You are not high, you are hollow. There is a hunger that needs to be filled. You have to cry out to God. It's between you. You see, you can be looking at your neighbor. You don't know what your neighbor is doing in the secret. The person can be doing as if he doesn't want God. He is seeking God in the secret. And then you will come and create yourself. We are together. You are not together. In the race of eternal life, is man on his own. You are on a journey of eternal life. And when calls are made like this, a man begins to make decisions for himself, knowing that anything that comes out of his is the one that will give account of his life. We've come to draw. Let's pray. Draw
from you again.
Yeah.
We've come to draw. Draw from you again. Yeah.
You see, I see that there are some people here, you actually touched God before, but you have lost track. It's not as if you are born again, but you know that there are wells you touched, and it seems as if God lived in your heart and lived in your house. But after a season, you began to talk about that God as if he's far away. When people talk about you, you say, we used to. I say, God is about to restore you today. In the next 2 minutes, he will do something mighty in your life. Just lift up your hands and pray and sing this song with me.
We've come to draw from you again. Yeah.
From your heart.
Yeah.
From your heart. Some people, you are already hearing a call in your heart. You know you need to get right with Jesus. You see, before I came, I was praying and I already saw this. So it's not, and you are coming to church. Give me the key. Don't reduce it. I didn't tell you to reduce. You are coming to church and you know that Jesus, there is no tangibility of Jesus in your heart. Okay. You used to have him before, but you are now deep in immorality. You are now deep in occultism. You are now deep in witchcraft. And you used to love God before, but you are now insane. I give you a call very fast. I need those people. Come on, let me pray with you. And you are struggling with sin. You are struggling with anything. Come, the hand of God will come on you now. And there are miracles taking place. There is somebody you have been called for a long time. I saw you in the spirit. You have been that thing that only that thing is being returned now in the name of Jesus Christ. We've come to draw. Be fast. We don't have time. Draw
from you again. Yeah.
You will see what will happen. Now listen to me. For everyone here that came out truly from his heart, something will happen. The hand of God will come upon you. I tell you all the things that we have touched and our hands have handled. You will begin to experience God in a dimension you never know. You will know that the Christian life is a reality. I call it the next, I will call this 1 to 5. If you don't come out in 1 to 5, I will stop. I don't have time. 1, come out quickly.
there is somebody here, God is telling you in your heart to come out. You know the reason why you are not coming out? You are saying, what will you say? You see me. I'll just make one more call. I give you just a few seconds. Come out. You are saying, what will people say if I come out now? You better come out. There is no. Amen. I can pray. Lift up your hands as you are kneeling down. Just cry to God. You are welcome to meet my Lord. This is not like anything you have done before. This is the reality. Pray and help me see you. Pray. And the rest of the congregation, pray for them. Pastors, let's stretch our hands and pray for them. That is salvation experience. We become an enemy. Follow God, but you finally left and you went into sin, and because of that you contacted a sickness. Yes, I'm seeing you in the spirit. The hand of God is touching you now, and because you came out, he will show you mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. That sickness is taken away. I tell you, there is the mercy of God on the people here. Stretch forth your hands. In the next 2 minutes, the power of God will minister to them. Now I want you to say after me, and after this thing, the hand of God will come upon your life. Say, Jesus, I come to you today. I forsake my sinful ways. I come to you today. I ask you to forgive me. I repent of all my ways. And I ask you to show me mercy. Wash me with your blood. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Oh my God. Now just raise your hands as you are kneeling down. In the next 2 minutes, Saboranta. Now, after the next 2 minutes, something will happen, and then you will now go with the ushers. Give me to me. Now, so that I will finish this in this atmosphere. If you are sitting down, this is not the time to sit down. Please, unless you are sick and you cannot, please stretch out your hands. Pray with them. If you are praying in the spirit, pray in the spirit, pray in the spirit. Something will come on them. Manate, manate, manate. Lift up your hands. Now the hand of God will touch 2 people as a sign that God has answered that your prayer. Just two people. Holy Ghost, I ask you in the name of Jesus, in the next 15 seconds, touch them. Yes, that's it. Holy Ghost, that's it. Stronger Holy Ghost. My power, stronger Holy Ghost. Person, it's coming stronger. Hey. That's the hand of God. It's